This morning I want to think about the theme of total obedience equaling total healing. And to help us unpack these verses that we've read, I've brought in five main points. The disciples asked a simple question. Jesus answered their question. Jesus' action and his instructions. The blind man's response. And the neighbor's surprise and skepticism. Jesus was on the road, again, away from the temple grounds where the Jews had threatened to stone him. We read of that in the previous chapter. And it was as they were walking along, they encountered a man who was blind. And so the disciples ask a simple question in verse 2. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And so that we can understand the reason behind their question and understand the background to it, we need to know that in Jewish culture, it was a common belief that calamity and suffering was a result of some great sin. But sometimes we have more questions than answers. I want you to think for a moment of a young child and how inquisitive they can be. They're always asking questions. We put it down to one of the ways that they learn. But how honest are we with the answers that we give? Do we just make something up and hope that that will satisfy? Or do you acknowledge that you don't know the answer, but say that you'll find out? Driving home in the evening, I listened to Drive Time. And on the way, you have a section in there called Homework Sucks. Listeners phone in with questions that they're looking for answers to. Supposedly questions that their children have asked them and they don't know the answers for. And so an expert is a specialist in that field will come up with the answer to the question and it keeps everyone happy. And so we have the questions asking disciples. But we want to look then at the answer that the disciples received. Jesus answered them by saying, neither this man nor his parents had sinned. But the words to the disciples don't contradict the universal sinfulness of man. In Romans we read, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus was saying here that the man's blindness was not caused by some specific sin. Instead, the problem existed so that God could display his glory in the midst of seeming tragedy. Just then, he went on to express the urgency of the work he had to do. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Last weekend, we put the clocks back, and we know the reality now of less daylight and how quickly it gets dark at night. But Jesus was here on a clear mission. He'd got a clear mission statement, and he knew the reality of knowing that he had less than 3 years to achieve all he was sent to do. And why was that? Because night is coming when no one can work. Jim Elliot, a missionary who was martyred by the tribe he had come to evangelize with the gospel. He wrote in his journal before he was murdered, when it comes time to die, make sure all you have to do is die. In other words, make sure you have no regrets that you did not do the things God asked you to do. Can you accept the challenge of being like Jesus in the works that God has called you to do? We never know when the finishing line will come, but we should live in such a way that when we come to the finishing line of our life, there will be no unfinished business, no works God assigned us to do that we've left undone. No regrets. No regrets. Let's be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but also all who have longed for his appearing. We're part of that crowd. We're moving forward towards the finishing line. We're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ's return. In his answer, Jesus goes on to point out again that he is the light of the world. He had already stated in the previous chapter, in chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. After the death of Jesus, we are called to be lights and to bring others to Christ. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 14, you are the light of the world. I'm now going to ask you to take part in this part of the service by singing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let's be enthusiastic. Just remain seated, but let's be enthusiastic about making sure that we are the lights in this world. Thank you, Jane. And it was interesting that without talking to Amy, other than telling her the passage that Martin had given me to speak on this morning, she came up with a children's talk that was very much related to our thoughts this morning. And we're all very familiar with the Bell Rock Lighthouse, situated on the Inchcape Rock. And we're aware of the powerful beam that reaches out, warning of the danger. Just imagine what would happen if that light went out, the disaster that could follow, as there's only a small proportion of the rock visible above the water. We've just been singing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let me ask you this morning, how brightly is your light shining this morning? As Jesus was answering the disciples' question, Jesus was aware of the man's physical need of healing, but also his spiritual need, so he could encounter Jesus for himself. Have you had that new experience and that fresh encounter with Jesus, or are you still blinded? Firstly, his eyes had to be opened. And Jesus used a method that was very popular in medicine, using the saliva. It was thought to have the healing properties. But it was a rather unusual combination. Jesus wasn't worried what others might think. He saw a need, and he acted on that need. Never mind that it was the Sabbath, and that kneading clay on the Sabbath day was against rabbinic law and regulations. Jesus saw a need and met that need. And so often, Jesus has to begin the work of healing and restoration in our lives, enabling us to see clearly. But we must listen. We've got to listen to his clear instructions. The man had a choice to make. To stay where he was with his face having mud on his eyes, or to go and follow Jesus' clear instructions. And the one thing that we know is when Jesus talks to us, there's nothing complicated about the instructions he gives us. All he requires from us is total obedience. We've maybe heard the voice of Jesus talking to us, that still small voice, but we've maybe not always followed as we should. May this morning be an opportunity for you in a fresh and new way to have eyes that are opened, just like the man's eyes were opened, in total obedience to Jesus' voice. And so we see the blind man's response. Jesus sent the man to the pool of Siloam. Now this was located over at the southeast corner of Jerusalem. It was built by King Hezekiah, and it was fed from an underground tunnel from outside the city, so that if the city was ever besieged, they knew at least they would still have water there, so that people could always get the water without fear of being attacked. And just as Jesus sent the man to the water in the pool, so the man went. Jesus was sent by his heavenly Father. The man was sent by Jesus. We see the result of his total obedience. It led to a transformation because he came home seeing. Maybe you're holding back. Maybe you've got doubts and questions. Maybe the big what if is hanging over you. Let go of that. And in total trust and obedience to the voice of Jesus, witness the change in your life that it will bring as you yield your life to Jesus. The man's blindness led him to an encounter with Jesus as his eyes were opened. We need our eyes opened spiritually so that we can see Jesus. Remember back in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah told and foretold that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Have you witnessed that great light this morning? And so in a time of great darkness, God promised to send light into the world. Light that was going to shine on everyone. It was a message that was going to be of hope that came from Jesus. Jesus came to deliver everyone from their slavery and their addiction to sin. And all he requires for us is to make a response and say, yes, I'm willing to listen to your instruction. I'm willing to follow you and do what you say. It was Jesus who changed the man's life, and it was a change that was evident to all around him. But just because there was a change in this man's life, and that it was evident to everyone around him, there was a bit of argument going on. There was the neighbor's surprise and skepticism. The neighbors argued amongst themselves. They were questioning, is this the same man who used to sit and beg? If so, it's incredible that he can now see. How come? We've known him as the blind man. Perhaps in all their discussion and arguments, they thought it was a case of mistaken identity. But we see that the change was evident to all by the way that they weren't prepared to believe what had happened. And when someone trusts in Jesus fully, it causes a life-changing experience. You're never going to be the same again. And it's only when the man spoke out with confidence and with boldness, and he said, I am the man. I am the man. And so when Jesus changes your life, you have your own unique story to tell. No one can take it away from you. And despite the man acknowledging that he was the same man, they still went on to question him. And you can just imagine the tone of their voice as they used to challenge him. They demanded, how then were your eyes opened? How was this possible? You were born blind, but now you see. Come on, tell us how all this was possible. And so the man gave a simple, factual account of what had happened. No one could take it away from him. He knew he'd been born blind, but now his eyes were open. He could see. The miracle happened because of his obedience to Jesus' instruction. And so when we put our trust in Jesus, we have our own unique story to tell of how we moved from darkness of sin into the glorious light of Jesus' salvation. It's a simple story of total obedience to the voice of Jesus and his clear instruction to follow him. When the crowd and the neighbors and those around him asked where Jesus was now, he could honestly say, "I don't know." Since he was blind at the time of the miracle, he'd no idea where Jesus had gone. Oh, well, we'll leave it to that. Anyway, in Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 1 to 3, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I will be with you, for I am the Lord your God. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I will be with you, for I am the Lord your God." And so this morning, as we consider total obedience leads to total healing, be still and listen for the voice of Jesus calling you by name. You are mine. I have redeemed you. It will lead to a transformation that will be evident to all as you move forward in total obedience to the will of God and what he has for you. Total obedience, total healing. Are you willing to listen and to take that step of total obedience? Let's pray together.